Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
My fellow citizens, we are under attack. The enemy? Bugs. Are your kids complaining about uncomfortable, itchy skin? They probably have body lice. The diseases transmitted by body lice helped bring down Napoleon's army in his 1812 campaign against Russia. The lice lay eggs in the seams of clothing. If Napoleon had made his troops do their laundry, we'd all be speaking French today. It's summer again, time for that pesky summer cold. Or do you have malaria? If you've been bitten by a mosquito, you've already met the insect that's killed more people than all wars combined. Bites from mosquitoes made George Washington so sick that he took huge doses of quinine, which caused him to go deaf during his presidency. We've discovered that mosquitoes are drawn to people who have been drinking beer or exercising. Avoid these things at all costs.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Happy Easter, everybody. With that warning at the top of the show about bugs. Actually, that's Amy Stewart, who is going to be my guest in the second hour. It's a terrific little trailer on her website about bugs. And the book she just wrote called Wicked Bugs. Thanks, Fred! Wait a second. I don't have a... No, we're fine. We're fine. Right. I've got a thanks Mike Novak card, but I don't have one for Fred. But anyway, Mark Munger in the studio with me. And remember last week, Mark, when you were here?
I do.
And Heather Fry said that she wasn't going to be here for this show because, it's Easter, and I gotta hunt for eggs.
Yeah. Somebody has to find those eggs.
And you know, I don't know. I can't be here. And
that's so, just what she sounded like.
Yeah, she did. And I just get a text from her, and she says, be nice, I'm listening. That's the best you can do. I get abandoned on my third anniversary show by my producer.
You just moped in here. It was a sad,
I know,
pathetic sight.
I'm just so unhappy.
And Heather is responsible.
And I got all kinds of folks, and I appreciate it, that are tweeting me. And you're welcome to call, because it is a third anniversary show on WCPT. Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And I never thought I'd make it 3 years. And here we are. And it's a good thing. And it's a jam-packed show. But sometime during the show, you're welcome to call in at 773-838-9278. 773-838-9278. And you're welcome to wish me a happy anniversary if you want. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. Or talk about the various things we're going to talk about, because we're going to start at the top of the show with Pam Richard from the Eco Justice. I can't even say that. Eco Justice Collaborative. And remember last Thursday there was a big hearing at City Council, Chicago City Council, about the Clean Power Ordinance and how people are going to mass and they had the votes to pass the thing. And well, guess what? And remember last week when I said, be careful, because, you know, city politics, Chicago politics has a way of thwarting the best intentions of people.
Have they done it again?
You got it. Chicago City politics works its magic once more.
Yeah.
And we'll tell the sad story of that. Pam Richard from the Eco Justice Collaborative will be here for that. Amy Stewart has written a book called Wicked Bugs, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army and Other Diabolical Insects. She will be in studio right here. She doesn't care that it's Easter. She comes from California just to visit Mike Novak on Easter.
Yeah,
Easter Sunday.
And we have bugs here.
And we do? Where? Where?
I have a question about bugs. I heard somebody say just last week that that roaches will climb in your ears at night. And that they'll go so far that you'll have to go to the doctor to actually get them tweezed out. Is that true?
You are amazing. Now, why did this come up last night?
There was just a lull in the conversation.
Drunk? Is that what?
Yeah, you know, occasionally.
It's one of those conversations.
Somebody brought up silverfish and how much they hated silverfish, and you know,
we're going to talk about all these. We talk about ants, silverfish, roaches. There's actually, it's funny you should say it, there is a section here about cockroaches in the book. And I'm looking for it. I'm flipping through it right now because you bring this up, and I just had to. Here we go.
Yeah, I lived in Texas, and the roaches there make these roaches here. They're nothing. In Texas, they have turn signals. They're so big. it's like a shoe running across your floor.
They have their own. And it right here on page whatever it is of this book, because I have the advanced reading copy. I want a real copy, Amy, if you're listening, when you come in. I want a signed copy. Expect a signed copy. She writes, but perhaps the most dreaded human-to-cockroach encounter is the legendary ear infestation. Although it sounds too horrible to be anything more than an urban legend, in fact, cases of German cockroaches crawling into people's ears and getting stuck there have been well-documented in medical literature.
Oh, no.
It is true. Emergency room doctors can pour oil in the ear to drown cockroaches, but often have a hard time extracting them afterward. Some doctors swear by a squirt of lidocaine, which irritates, or lidocaine, is it lidocaine, maybe? I have no idea. I've never had it squirted in my ear. Which irritates the roach so much that it can send it running out of the ear and across the room.
What if it runs the other way?
Goes deeper?
Yeah.
I think it bumps in the eardrum at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's just a taste of what's in the book here. And then after that, we have a brand new segment on the show, which is kind of like the old segment. Remember where we used to have Good Growing? Well, we've kind of renamed it. It's now Sustainable Food Fundamentals, which is very similar. We may resurrect Good Growing, but it might be not just food. That might turn out to be Good Growing ornamentals as well, or lawns, or something like that. Good Growing is still in the hopper, but today Sustainable Food Fundamentals debuts on the Mike Novak Show on Easter Sunday, the third anniversary of my first broadcast here. We just got tweeted, by the way. Did you see that? You never saw the cockroaches in New York. So, I actually saw, I'm sorry, I saw a cockroach the size of a truck in Detroit once, okay?
I'm telling you, they don't die in Texas. There's no cold weather. They just keep living.
They live forever.
They're huge. I sucked one up with a vacuum one time, like the
and
hose.
And it took up the whole bag.
And it like, yeah, it like clogged, clogged the bag.
you could see its claws punching through the bag. Yeah. You could see the outline. Yeah.
And, they fly there. So it's, you know, they're attacking from
so it's like small levels. Airplanes
yeah,
in,
they're
in the middle
running,
of the...
They're running across the sidewalks. They're everywhere. They're not just in your house.
Another reason not to live in Texas.
And if you needed more reasons.
My opinion is, and I stole this from a friend of mine, but my slogan about Texas is set Texas free. Please, can we do that now? Another tweet that says, oh, my God, I may not be able to listen to that segment. Total grossing me out. Bugs in the ear. Come on. That's the cool part. When Amy gets here, oh, man, you're not going to believe the story she tells about bugs. And you can find out more about it on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've listed some of the cooler stuff. Some of the best stuff about bugs, though, is, well, the SEX.
Oh, no.
And what bugs do to each other. Mostly the female bugs do to the male bugs.
You're going to talk about this on Easter? Easter Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so totally. Hey, this is nature, pal. You know, it's just like Randall, you know, Randall and Honey Badger.
Oh, that's nasty.
All right. And I have to talk about that, too, real quick. For those of you who listen to the podcast and download the podcast, and you can do that at MikeNovak.net. It's free. You can go to iTunes, and you can get the RSS, and it comes. And it's interesting. Hey, people who write me go, what happened to your podcast this week? How come you're late? Or, you know, they talk about some. I had a guy write this week. He said, I went back to one of the old ones. I really like that one. I listen. You know, I have a feeling as people have their favorites. And this may be one of them because we talk about bugs, because bugs are so cool. But last week, you might recall at the beginning of the show, those of you who catch the beginning of the show, we had the honey badger thing, and we, I had somebody tweet me just yesterday. Wait a second. Let's see if I can find that here, because it's too cool. Yes. It was Mega Badger.
Mega Badger.
We got a Mega Badger who tweets. And Mega Badger wished me a happy third anniversary and said, oh, and I got everyone in my office saying, Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't give a bleep.
He eats those cobras. He runs backwards.
So if you don't know about Honey Badger, you can do one of two things. You can listen to the top of my show last week. Oh, and what I was trying, boy, and that was what, remember what Garden Design said?
I was just going to say.
The highly distractible host, that's me.
Oh, my.
I'm the poster boy for distractibility. On the podcast, Honey Badger got cut out inadvertently. It was a technical error. So those of you who got the podcast early in the week missed Honey Badger. So those of you listening to the podcast now for this week are going to realize that it wasn't on there, and you might want to go back and catch the beginning. You don't have to listen to more than like 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the top of the show. But what I realized was that if you listen to the podcast and the Honey Badger segment wasn't there at the top of the show, there's no frame of reference for the first hour. None. So that's got to be a little weird. So anyway, back to Sustainable Food Fundamentals, said the highly distractible host. Alan Shannon, the director of the Midwest Region Public Affairs for USDA Food and Nutrition Service, is going to be here to talk about how the USDA is supporting local food and local farmers. And know your farmer. It's great stuff. And it kicks off our Sustainable Food Fundamentals segment, which is sponsored by Pearl Valley Organics, and we're happy to have them on the show. And that's all coming up on the Mike Novak Show. Who did we just...
Heather called in. She says that there's a new podcast. She re-edited the podcast with the Honey Badger in front.
And
if you put it up, it's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's okay, the point I'm making, is that we re-edited... I guess I didn't make that clear. We re-edited that podcast so that we could put the Honey Badger segment back up.
She was calling between eggs, so she was in a hurry. You got to find him quick.
Deserted on my third anniversary, Heather. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. No problem. No problem at all. Why don't we get Pam on board, and we'll talk to her. And on this Easter Sunday, you might write a letter. Dear neighborhood rabbits and squirrels, skunks, deer, chipmunks, and raccoons, stay away from my plants. Sincerely, the homeowner. That's the message that Bonide Repels All will send to these ravenous little critters. This all-natural animal repellent uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep pests away, but it doesn't smell unpleasant to humans. Repels All is effective for up to 2 months. It's so effective that your satisfaction is guaranteed. The natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and structures. Repels All is available in concentrate, ready-to-use, and ready-to-spray liquid formulations and in easy-to-spread granules. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, Heinz Brothers Greenhouse in St. Charles, Chalet, the Chalet in Wilmette, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it directly to your computer's desktop.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low-nitrogen, slow-release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
What do Ball Horticultural, the Lincoln Park Zoo... Oh, wait a second. Well, let's do it. Ball Horticultural, Lincoln Park Zoo, Elmhurst College, and Motorola have in common? They've all been partners with WRD Environmental, an ecological consulting firm that has created sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD Environmental, good friends of mine, good people, designs, installs, manages, and consults on projects and programs that conserve natural resources, promote sustainability, cultivate biodiversity, and restore nature's balance. But just as important, WRD is a good partner. Whether it's managing a large-scale conservation development or cultivating a community greening initiative, clients trust WRD to anticipate, prevent, and solve potential problems. WRD Environmental takes a comprehensive approach to every project, keeping the overall objectives in mind and building teams along the way to achieve the best results. WRD is all about innovation and execution with unparalleled focus. So when you're looking for a partner to help your business literally change the world around it, choose WRD. WRD Environmental, where the built and natural environments meet. And just before we get to Pam Richard, it's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. He told me this the other day, and the other week, actually, and it was really cool, and I was fascinated by it. So I said, Wally, you got to make it a Tip of the Week. It's a trick for growing large onions. Plant them only 1 inch deep, about 4 inches apart. Now, might look strange as the onion continues to grow. It also depends on varieties. You know, there are different kinds of varieties, and I'm going to tell you right now, to get more information in some of the varieties that are up there, you know, I've got 60 seconds here to do this, but Wally's got much more information online at Pesci's.com. But anyway, planting them an inch deep may look strange as the onion continues to grow, but you need to resist the temptation to push the onions deeper. As the onions grow larger, they will appear to be almost sitting on top of the soil. In 4 weeks, mix 1 tablespoon of Dr. Earth bulb food lightly in the soil around each bulb. When the ground starts to crack as the onions push the soil away, the bulbing process has begun. Stop fertilizing then about 3 weeks before harvest. Onions have shallow root systems, so they require frequent irrigation. Now, water only the soil, not the foliage. But watch out. If the onion's foliage has an unhealthy yellowish tint, the soil is overwatered. When the onion top turns yellow on its own without being overwatered and it falls over, it's time to stop watering. They're ready for harvest. There's, as I said, there's more about this process at Pesci's.com. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service expert advice and uncompromising quality.
There was a hole.
The prettiest little hole.
That you ever did see. Now the hole in the ground, and the green grass grows all around and around. The green grass grows all around, and in that hole.
And I got to thank Guadalupe Garcia, who sent this to me. We'll play a little more of this later on, but it's... It is Louis Jordan. And Mark, you're a big fan, Louis Jordan.
I love Louis Jordan.
So we'll get to more of that later on. And what was the song you were telling me about that you like so much?
Beans and Cornbread.
Well, we got to get that, too.
Well, we'll find it.
I'll tell you what, find it online. We'll play it later on during,
all right.
During the show. All right, let us go to, phone bank. It ended up on the other side of the room. Hold on just a second, folks. No. The one over there. We've got a phone bank here, and while we're waiting for the phone bank to get to this side so I can talk to Pam... Oh, you got it here. Great. Live radio, kids! All right, we are on line one. We're talking to Pam Richard. How are you, Pam?
I am doing good. How are you today?
All right, happy Easter to you.
And you too.
And I know I'm keeping you... You know, we got to do this so you can get off to church.
That's quite all right. Things are popping up all over and resurrecting right here in my own yard. So I'm just fine here.
And it's such a pleasure to have you on. It was a very interesting week for environmentalists in Chicago, don't you think?
Oh, it sure was. It was an incredible week. And I just want to make sure everybody hears what a surge of momentum we actually had after that hearing on 421. It was incredible. By all outward appearances, I think we scored a big win.
Well, it's interesting because there's a couple of ways you could look at it. The title that I have on my website, if you go to this week's show, and I have a lot of information about it and links to Eco Justice Collaborative and the Chicago Clean Power Coalition and some of the news coverage of this hearing that was at City Council. It was interesting. It was in the Trib, well, not in the Sun-Times. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? It wasn't even good enough to be in the Sun-Times. This is not interesting enough to you to have the will of the people thwarted by big coal. This is kind of interesting. And my headline on my website is Coal Power Plays Hardball at Chicago City Council. And they really did. You and I, Pam, got shut out of the meeting because they, Midwest Generation bussed in hundreds of their workers, at these, plants, not just the plants in Chicago, but all over the state from what I understand.
Oh, they did. They played hardball, but big time. They actually had seven buses, 56 person capacity each. You know, there's 185 employees between the two plants, and we had over 200, possibly 300 people being bussed in from places outside Chicago. Yeah, that was frustrating. I opened the elevator, got off the elevator, and thought, what have I walked into? I don't think we were prepared for that. And you could look at the hearing itself, you know, as long as they're talking about these things. Folks were not let in, even though there were empty seats. And when people actually got through the door, the hired guns, so to speak, wouldn't let them sit in the vacant seats. So there was an intimidation tactic afoot, but big time. 7 hours of hearing started out with the chair of the Energy and Environmental Protection Public Utilities Committee saying, not going to be a vote today. Sorry, folks.
We got to start there. I mean, Alderman Virginia Rugai from the 18th, and she... 19th? 18th? What am I...
She's 19th.
19th Ward, sorry, from the 19th Ward. And... the hearing on the Clean Power Ordinance had been delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, and then she comes in with hundreds of people in the room, hundreds of people outside who couldn't even get in the room, starts the hearing by saying Nothing's going to be done today because it's too important. We need more time.
Yeah.
And this is after delaying it for an entire year.
Absolutely.
And this is City Council. This is Chicago City Council and Chicago politics at its finest. Yes, absolutely.
No, and I also want to say, you know, before I go into where I think we won, because I think we did, you know, the other very frustrating thing was that out of all those hours of testimony, our folks had less than 2 hours. And that includes the questions.
And I need to make that clear again, is that... All right. So this was supposed to be a hearing. It's a, you know, you would think it's a fair hearing. So equal sides for both people. You would say that now this is a very interesting question. All right. You're saying that your side had about 2 hours out of seven and that the opposition. My question is, when the city testified, did you consider that opposition or did you consider that neutral or did, well, how did you, or your side?
Yeah, well, I think in this case, I think the city was in lockstep with the power company. And in fact, the city had really refused to meet with us all the time we've been working on this. But I think that's going to change. And so I don't really want to dwell on that because I really do think as we move forward, we have a much friendlier administration. And I think that, things are going to be a lot better and easier for us.
Oh, well, I will be devil's advocate.
All right, be devil's advocate.
I will say we don't know. We don't know what this. I mean, Mr. Emanuel is playing things close to the vest. If you listen to Dick Kay on this very radio station yesterday, he was talking about how he believes that the Emanuel administration is going to play everything close to the vest. Is going to be very tightly controlled. And there's every indication now that it is that way going into the inauguration.
Well, inside intel suggests that we have an opening. So let me just say that.
Okay.
So many of us are thinking, you know, it's certainly, look at what we've done. I mean, you know, yes, we were shut out, but the message got out. And that little Twitter thing that we did actually was able to get the message outside the hearing chambers to other people, which was also an interesting way of working the day.
Well, let me back up and explain that a little bit. As we talked about with your husband, Lan, last week, you guys were doing this Where's My Walderman site, which I followed most of the day. And also I followed Twitter, and when I had the same situation you did, which is, and it's interesting that your husband got into the chambers, but you didn't.
Yeah, well, I was part of the press conference, so, you know, it was, and I decided when I saw all those folks there, somebody needed to be the wizard behind the Twitter, to make sure that the messages were getting out.
And they did.
Yeah.
And following it was fascinating. As you said, the message got out clear and strong. Twitter is amazing because, during that time, I went on Facebook and I put a Facebook post and I said, really kind of an interesting contrast between the two media here, Twitter and Facebook, because Twitter was, exploding and there was nothing on Facebook. It was deader than a doornail regarding this. I mean, it was the usual, gosh, I'm having a cup of coffee. Isn't life wonderful? And it's a shame that Facebook couldn't have been more involved in that, but that's just my observation. But you guys were getting the word out, and in retrospect, it has been covered, and I guess you feel that it's only made the movement stronger.
Oh, I do. And, you know, the funny thing is, if you look at this, we have no paid, this coalition is 58 strong. There is no paid staff. There is no money. There is no corporate support. And yet, in the last 12 months, we've managed to get 26 co-sponsors. We've got the two aldermen in the power plant wards to sign on to this ordinance. That's incredible. We've been able to get some really good media coverage, and the media seems now to understand the issue, whereas when we started the campaign, they were still ending everything with the Midwestern says they're cleaning up the plants. Now people know they have to pay attention to what kind of pollutants we're talking about, and that fine particulate matter that gets in your bloodstream. It really makes people sick.
Yeah, there are several issues here, and one of the particulate matter is really probably the biggest at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, it is truly. And the other thing is we've been able to mobilize people. We had our own 250, 300 people come to this hearing, even though they were locked out.
And they were not paid to show up. According to one estimate, Midwest Generation might have paid about $50,000 to get all those people there for one day.
Exactly. So these are moms, these are dads, these are teachers, these are regular folk who care about the issue who are coming out. Students, big time. So that's good. We actually had the hearing after delay. We weren't sure we were even going to get that hearing, which I think is going to propel us with momentum as we move forward. And we're building this coalition, we're building relationships, we're recognizing that we have diversity. We've got champions like Alderman Moreno was tweeting from the hearing, go Alderman Moreno, I say, from Ward 1.
I have to admit, that was the most astounding part of it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have environmentalists tweeting about what's going on there. It's quite another to have an alderman tweeting and pretty much being on your side, as you could tell from the tweets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and he's a co-sponsor.
So congratulations, Alderman Moreno. I guess Alderman Moore stood up very well.
Alderman Moore, of course, is chief sponsor for this ordinance,
right.
And without his support, we wouldn't be where we are, of course. So go, Alderman. He gets a standing ovation, of course. So I think we gave it to him on Twitter as many times as we could. And then the other thing that I think was really key here is even though they pulled out their best shots, they came off looking pretty silly in some areas, right?
Well, they came off looking like bullies is what they did. Although, you know, there's a couple of ways that you can look at it. You can look at it that they outmaneuvered you, or you can say they used their muscle and their money to drown out your voices.
But our voices didn't get drowned out, and I guess that's my point. And some of the things that they said, I think, are really rather amusing. You know, so how many people work at the plants combined? 185. How many are from Chicago? 13. How many are from Pilsen or Little Village where the plants are located? 0. How many were bussed in? Almost 300.
Well, and this is a really good point, because the point that the company is making and the workers mm-hmm. who were being paid to be there and holding up their signs say, we need to protect our jobs. Well, they're not city jobs. There aren't that many jobs. B,
right.
Most of the people are not from the city. And C, if you clean up the plants right, we're not going to lose the jobs. And as Alderman Moore said, we might even create more jobs.
That's very, very, very true. Very true. And then there was the other comment that I just it makes me smile. So Alderman Maldonado said, or maybe it was Newsom, you took the plants over in 1999. How many jobs did you create at that time? They didn't create any jobs. And as the questioning furthered, went on farther, it came to be that they said, we actually reduced jobs. So I thought that was a pretty interesting and amusing point.
I'm going to have to let you go in just a second here, but the one thing that disturbs me about this is we've gone back to the old meme of it's either environmental, it's either clean air or union jobs, and
right.
That's just a false premise, if you ask me.
It is totally a false premise, and it's the same kind of thing that I find in all the work that we do. When you sit down to people who are paid and probably forced to come and do what they did today, many of those employees didn't have a choice. You find out that they want the same thing we do. They want clean air for their children. They want quality of life. They want good working environment. Everybody wants good wages. We all need this. We all want the same thing. So, to pit one against the other is just the wrong way to go. And it's a tactic that's been used forever and ever and ever. So we have to find a way to get around that.
That's a great way to end it, Pam. Richard from the Eco Justice Collaborative. If you want more information about this, go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got links to Eco Justice Collaborative and to the Chicago Clean Power Coalition and some of the articles that have been up there about what happened on Thursday. The difficulty you have, of course, is that even some of the aldermen who had signed on as co-sponsors will not be around in May. Right?
That is in fact true. So we're going to be pounding the pavement again and regrouping and getting support. But I just want to tell everybody this ain't over, and I think we're really strong in a stronger position because of where we've been, and we've come incredibly long distances in just a short time. I don't think if you look at any other legislation that's as major as this has gone through the city council that it has gone through as quickly that you know people we've gotten this kind of support in 12 months. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Things happen and you move forward and you keep chipping away and I have confidence that we will prevail.
Yeah, you know what? It's great to have you with us, Mike.
Well, some things are pretty clear, and in terms of which side are you on, you know, if we've got those power plants have to stop pumping out all that garbage and killing people. I mean, that's the other thing. We estimate, or scientists and other folks estimate that 40 people in the city of Chicago per year die because of that.
Yeah, that is true.
Not one union job is worth 40 deaths.
No.
Not one union job is worth one death. You know,
no.
it's especially when it's again that's a false premise and it's not the trade-off. That's not how it's done. There are other ways to create good jobs by going to cleaner power.
Yeah, and you know the city of Chicago has adopted a darn good plan and a strategy for just doing just that. So if they implement their plan, we would have an average of 2,500 clean jobs, new jobs every single year.
Yeah.
So this is a totally false premise. It has to be jobs against health and jobs against life, you know? So,
yeah. All right, well
okay, so
get off to church.
Much.
You go to church, and happy Easter, Pam.
Thank you so much,
We will be talking again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It's spring. And as our plants wake up, so does the soil, but the soils around urban and suburban trees are often neglected. That's where the Care of Trees comes in. Their soil care program was designed to provide the healthiest, nutrient-rich soil for your trees with something they call Arbor Tea. They analyze the soil, develop compost teas to enhance the quality of the biology, and then apply these teas to restore the soil to a favorable condition. Contact the Care of Trees to learn more about this cutting-edge treatment. They put you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
It's spring planting time, and this week's special at SIDS is seed geraniums, an annual favorite that's sure to give bright color all summer long. And, of course, we're talking not the botanical geranium, but pelargonium, that geranium. Through May 7th, save big on seed geraniums in a 3.5-inch pot, 3 for just $5. Also this week, you can get $5 off SIDS' entire stock of spring baskets. Visit SIDSonline.com to download the coupon. Friday is Arbor Day, and to celebrate, SIDS has 2 smoking deals to excite your landscape. 3 varieties of Japanese maples, just $39 for the number two pot size, and 36-inch emerald green arborvitae are $5 for $90. Yes, we all love our arborvitae fences, so we don't have to see our neighbors. Mother's Day is 2 weeks from today. Why not honor mom with a fresh floral arrangement from Sid's Full Service Floral Shops? Check out their selection online and order today. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden center's nursery and florist, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hazard Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday now through June 18th at Sid's. Just arrived between 7 a.m., which is early, and 8:45 a.m., and save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from Sid's Early Bird Greeter. Are you ready to roll this, Mr. Mark?
Ready.
Okay,
ready?
Let's do it. Here we go.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Fred, you remembered.
Fred, yes, of course, that's from the Flintstones. Thanks, Mark, for finding that. We've had a lot of people wishing us happy anniversary here, third anniversary of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. I've been doing this 13 years, folks, 13 and a half, but just 3 years here, and... Tom wrote, happy anniversary, Mike, great radio show, many more years, Chicago 820 AM, and he puts the frequency and stuff there, so thanks for the tweet on that. It is time to go to, line one. Oh, that's a surprise.
That's my line, right?
That's your line. Line one. Meteorologist.
What was the name of that show, Mike? What's My Line?
Exactly. I remember that, all right? Was that the one with Gary Moore?
I thought it was with Bill Cullen.
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Bill Cullen and Gary Moore and those guys, they all sort of, they went around all those different shows at one time or another.
They kind of merged. But I still remember, I think, my favorite game show ever. And I know they had it in Chicago, but I think it started in New York. Do you remember Bowling for Dollars?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was like, I think that was actually so bad, it sucked energy from other game shows. You didn't know that.
Well, you know, my friends and I used to call it Blue Collars for Dollars.
Blue Collars for Dollars.
Yeah.
Hey, I went on air and won $19.
Exactly. Woohoo! Well, that's the other thing. You go to old game shows.
I got a nine on the spare. That's how you win $19, right?
Well, yeah, but these old game shows, it's funny because they would win like $50, and everybody would be going, it was, you bet your life, you know? The duck would come down, and you'd win $50. A little chintzy, don't you think?
Oh, my God. Isn't that with Groucho Marx?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You know he was hurting for money when he had to do that thing, right?
Well, he was a little on in his career there at that point.
Yeah, he finally grew a real mustache.
Yeah, that was the other thing. He grew a real mustache at one point.
So, happy anniversary. 3 years. How about that?
Unbelievable, huh?
And I've been with you for, what, 90% of it or 99% of it?
I'd say about 99% of it. You've only missed a couple of shows.
Yeah, even when I wasn't here, I was still on.
Even when you're not here, you're always on, Rick, all right?
Yeah,
I know how you meteorologists are.
Yeah, we can't get away from talking about the weather. Oh, my God, has this been on overdrive over the last week or so?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is nutty, and, one of the things that the thing I got to start with is since we're going to be talking about in the second hour with Amy Stewart, bugs and myths
oh, boy,
and busting some of those,
right.
And truths and other things, myth about tornadoes that they cannot hit a major city.
Oh, I think we destroyed that myth many, many, many years ago. And the truth that a tornado cannot hit a major airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would think an airport is a great place for it because it's wide open.
Well, you know, you're right about that because there's nothing really that's going to block anything that's before the tornado probably gets to the terminal. But when a tornado goes to a major terminal, you know, like St. Louis, and basically destroys Concourse C, and on top of that, I was looking at some of the video last night from the probably TSA videos. Did you get to see some of these these secured videos that or cameras? Oh my God! You see people running down the hallway
and chairs chasing them down the hall, and they're ducking in doorways, and the chairs are flying by.
Well, you know, I think what's happening. I said this, Mike, even after the tsunami, is the age that we're living in, where we have cameras just basically everywhere. You're getting into and inside of things that we've only thought of before and only had, eyewitness accounts saying it sounded like this, it looked like this, and we would all basically go, wow, that must have been really bad, and now we're actually seeing it.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, I can actually understand what these people went through. But even looking at it, you know, how these people were basically racing down the hallway into the bathrooms. And I still think about what happened even 2 weeks ago when you had 100 people in that Lowe's hardware store in North Carolina. 100 people got into the bathrooms, which was the severe storm shelter, and it saved their lives. And we're seeing more and more of these types of events where the warning was up and out for the St. Louis airport nearly 15 minutes in advance. And if there's any place you want to be prior to a severe weather event, it's an airport, because they have, not to say that that's a safe place to be, but that's where the information they're going to get there probably quicker than anybody else. And obviously it saved a lot of people's lives, because if you think about the amount of flying glass that went through the hallways, and I think the number of injuries was only like 2 or something. But it was now rated, I think it was up to an F4 in parts of the metropolitan St. Louis area. We all know that's, you know, one step below an F5. This was, out of all the tornadoes we've had over the last 3 weeks, this was actually the most violent one, and still no fatalities from what I can see on this. This was another event where we had excellent watches and warnings of.
You know, I got to say this, Rick, modern meteorology is truly saving lives. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and you still think about all the safety, you know, the safety things that we have, the safety components that cars have these days. But yet, you know, people are still dying because they're either traveling too fast or people are driving drunk. But when you look at all the fatalities, even that we had last weekend when we had 44 people die, we had nearly 200 tornadoes. You take that same event, you know, back in the 1960s, and you would have had 40 tornadoes and 200 people die. But, yeah, it's not so much modern meteorology, Mike, but it's education, I think. It's people going to storm spotting seminars. It's knowing what to do. It's knowing how to protect yourself. I think it's that more than anything, because we're still going to have, you know, massive outbreaks of severe weather. But, you know, outside of that, outside of the tornadoes that we've been having across much of the South, the weather here in Chicago, if you remember last week, we were talking about the possibility of snow, and we had 2 inches of snow across the northern suburbs last week. That's crazy for this time of the year.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I've heard, and maybe you can confirm, that maybe we have another, but we're still in an active pattern, right?
Yeah, very active pattern.
All right, well, hang on. We'll get to that forecast, talk about that active pattern. Got to take care of some business here. We'll be right back with meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Want to keep hungry deer and animals away from your garden goodies? Well, you could put up a fence, or the next best thing, Bob-X. In May of 2006, a test was set up by the Department of Forestry and Horticulture at the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station. 11 different repellents, including a fence, were used in an attempt to protect the foliage of yews. The results? Bob-X had a protection rate of 93%. The only repellent that worked better was, wait for it, the fence. The Bob-X company has been selling deer and animal repellent products for more than 20 years. They've been a go-to product for commercial nurserymen, master gardeners, rose enthusiasts, and thousands of homeowners. Don't look for Bob-X products in a box store. Look for them in a Bob-X store, meaning your local independent garden center. Here are a few stores where you can find Bob-X products. Platte Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Illinois. Gomez Greens in Chicago. Alternative Garden Supply in Cary, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X. Now, does your soil need an extra boost or maybe something to bust up that clay? Think burrs. Cotton burrs, that is. Cotton burr compost from Back to Nature is rich in protein, which is the primary food source for beneficial soil organisms. You know, those little guys that aerate the soil with their tunneling and convert nutrients into a form that plants can use. Cotton burr compost is made up of composted cotton burrs, of course, which are a byproduct of the ginning process, and it's 100% organic. It also accepts and retains moisture like a champ, unlike peat moss. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs in the southwestern United States. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at Bob's Salt and Feed in West Chicago, Illinois, Wheaton Nursery in Wheaton, Illinois, The Chalet in Wilmette, Illinois. Get back to the earth with Back to Nature.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
What happens when you apply high-quality organic ingredients to your soil and vegetable plants? That's right. You get high-quality vegetables. And we've got some out in the parking lot farm out back at WCPT. I'm going to show Amy Stewart that after the show today. And we planted them with Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth has you covered from planting to harvest. Start with their probiotic planting mix. Add some tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer and take down insects with Dr. Earth's all-organic fruit and vegetable insect spray. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you and like them on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products.
Now the roots and the dirt and the dirt and the hole and the hole and the ground, the green grass grows all around and around, the green grass grows all around, and on those roots,
and on those roots,
there grew a little tree,
there grew a little tree,
the prettiest little tree,
the prettiest little tree,
that you ever did see,
that you ever did see.
Now the tree on the roots and the roots and the dirt and the dirt and the hole and the hole and the ground. The green grass grows all around and around. The green grass grows all around and on that tree.
Yeah, yeah, and on and on and on and on and on. We know where that goes. Let's go back to Rick DeMaio. So what's this pattern we in and what does it mean for Chicago in the next week?
Well, what it means for farmers, Mike, is they have not gotten a lot of their crop in. They're probably about, I would say, 2, maybe 3 weeks behind. And there were some farmers in the surrounding communities, mainly south of Kankakee over north central Indiana, that did get some planting done, from what I understand, during that warm spell that we had about 3 weeks ago. But now they're worried that the seeds may not germinate properly because of the cool weather and the wet weather. So they may actually have to dig some of that stuff and do a little replanting. But compared to last April, at this time, obviously last April was a warm one. We had temperatures nearly 7 degrees above average. We're running about a degree below average, climatologically speaking, but areas along the lakefront, from about, say, Lakeview, north to Evanston, up to the North Shore, temperatures have been probably about 5 degrees below average. Even though we haven't had a huge amount of rainfall, we've had a lot of days of rain, and also I've noticed a lot of days where we don't really have a lot of evaporation due to the fact that we've had so much cloud cover. This is going down in the books right now as the cloudiest April since back in 1992. That particular April we had not only cloudy wet weather, but we also had very, very cool weather into May and June. And that was more of a byproduct of the blow-off of Mount Pinatubo, which blew up in the Philippines, sent a spew of volcanic ash surrounding the northern hemisphere for about 18 months. We ended up having I think 3 days of record low temperatures in April, 4 in May, and another 5 in June of that year. Clearly, we're not under a volcanic ash cloud this year, but the pattern, I would say, Michael, the next 2 weeks still seems to be somewhat active. So even though we cleared out yesterday, we had the first day above normal in nearly 10 days when temperatures topped out in the low 60s. We'll probably stay in the mid-50s today, well, inland, probably upper 40s lakefront. The wind has already turned off Lake Michigan. And this is in advance of a new storm system that's beginning to kind of nudge itself slowly northeastward out of the central plain. So clouds today, a little bit of sun out there. Enjoy whatever we have because it's going to be pretty much of a cloudy afternoon. Rain late tonight, rain much of the day tomorrow, then a steadier, heavier rain. Monday night into Tuesday, we could probably see at least another inch, maybe inch and a half of rain as we head into Tuesday morning. And then I still think probably Wednesday on the cool side with readings in the mid-40s. So I don't really think we're going to see much in the way of anything above normal around here, temperature-wise, for the next 4 or 5 days. And we could probably finish out the month of April with maybe readings averaging anywhere between 5 and 10 degrees below normal. And I think it's going to stay that way for the next week. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to have a cool, wet May and a cool, wet spring. We've seen many times in the past where the heat down across the southern plains, Texas, and the worst drought in 95 years could easily push this whole boundary north of us, and we could end up with a very hot and humid summer. And that's the one thing I'm concerned about, is the fact that we haven't had enough evaporation lately, so the ground obviously soaking wet with a lot of rain. And I think one thing you'll definitely see, Mike, as soon as we get a couple of bright sunny days, the trees, which are about 2 weeks late compared to what they were last year, just an absolute explosion of leaves and flowers and forsythia and tulips. Everything is just going to go gangbusters.
Well, the forsythia is already popping, but I think you're right about the trees. Right. They're just going to explode as soon as we get a couple of warm days and some sun. So
right, that'll probably be more so about the middle of May. So
oh boy.
So 50s inland today, 40s along the lakefront, and then rain for the next 2 days, and probably only in the 40s during the day on Wednesday. And hopefully we can keep the severe weather, you know, well to the south of us, if not, you know, totally eliminated across the Midwest.
I hope so. All right, Rick DeMai. Great talking to you. Happy Easter, buddy.
Buona Pasqua.
Whatever you said. Yeah, okay.
That's
all right.
Italian for Buona Pasqua.
I know. All right. talk to you later. Take care. Have a great week. Second hour coming up on the Mike Novak Show. Amy Stewart's in the studio. Stick around.
Do you ever feel a tickle in your nose? There's probably maggots in there. A Southern California man had 200 live maggots removed from his nasal cavity after a screwworm fly made one brief visit up his nostril. So at your next family picnic, be sure to wear protection. And now for the gardening report. It's time to plant your tomatoes and your summer corn. As always, you want to watch out for any dark clouds advancing fast on the horizon. It's probably a plague of locusts. In 1875, a swarm of Rocky Mountain locusts covered 200,000 square miles of farmland. Farmers tried to drive them out using poison, kerosene, and setting their fields on fire. One day, the locusts mysteriously vanished and are now believed to be extinct. But you never know. And inside the house, the bug situation is not much better. If you have books, silverfish are probably devouring them now. And if you have walls, termites are eating those. Coming up, the Department of Defense implants computer chips in caterpillars. A woman tries to murder her husband with tarantula pie. And millipedes invade small towns across Europe. After these messages.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Makeup, make sure they get your good side, good side.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show, our third anniversary program on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And as you just heard, I have the scariest writer in horticulture in the studio.
right now, and that is Amy Stewart. Welcome, Amy.
Good morning.
That trailer, by the way, you got to go to Amy's website, and you can get there via my website, or let me see, I'm scrolling down here.
I'll make it easy for you. Wickedbugs.com.
Okay, wickedbugs.com.
That's the shortcut.
We got it on our Facebook and Twitter, too.
Okay. Oh, good. Have you put it up there? Great.
Yep.
And you can see the whole trailer, and you're ridiculously cute in it with those horn-rimmed glasses. And they did the whole 1950s. Now, I got to ask you, did you do that or did your publisher do that? Who put that together?
My brother works in Hollywood, so he comes up with these videos.
Can he come here and do one for me?
For a price.
I don't have any money. What do you mean? I tell him, Mike put me on his show, so you got to do something good for him.
Yeah, he charges me. There's like no family rate with this kid.
I looked at that thing. And I said, the production values of this are awesome.
It's fabulous. Yeah, it's all this old newsreel footage and kind of sort of like Japanese monster movie kind of feel. It's super
right.
cool.
And of course, it's about, and I love the over the top approach.
Yeah, yeah.
About bugs.
Yes.
Just taking for fact that all these bad things happen.
There's probably maggots in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Maggots in the nose. Okay, we got to start with that one then. Why not? Happy Sunday to all you people listening and having breakfast. We're going to talk about maggots in the nose to start. Actually, the name of the book, and let me not, I got to figure out what I did. It was here some. Oh, right under here. Wicked Bugs, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army and Other Diabolical Insects by Amy Stewart, author of Wicked Plants. You might remember she was on the show last November. Heather fell in love with your book.
All right.
And then decided not to show up today.
She missed out.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to bust her, and you know, until she cries.
She's going to be so sad she missed this. I actually brought you. Well, first of all, I brought you booze because happy anniversary, man. So not one bottle, but two for breakfast.
What is this?
Yeah, I've got a white Lambrusco.
Oh my goodness!
Fabulous, lovely Italian. A little sweet, but it's breakfast, so I figure you know. And then a raspberry lambic, also sweet.
Where do you get these?
Lovely.
These are not the kinds of wines that I would normally drink, so this is...
I picked them both up at Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay.
Good stuff.
All right.
Are we going to bust into them on the air? I hope so.
No.
Oh! Okay,
And even if we were, I wouldn't say it.
I did also bring dead bugs. I actually have a black widow in a vial here.
Oh, I want to see that. I don't know that I've actually ever seen a black widow.
Take a close look, and you'll see a little red hourglass.
There's the hourglass
on her belly. They don't all have that, but many of them do.
The males don't.
Well, the males don't, but even the females. There's a wide variation among black widows. But I've got all kinds of nasty, wicked bugs for us to talk about because I know how good visuals are on the radio.
Yeah.
So I brought them.
Mark, you describe these bugs to us, please. You'll probably see there's legs and there are antennae and there are. And we got to let's start with a couple of things. The caveats for your book, and one of them is when we say bugs, you do the same thing I do when I do garden talks. I use it to mean everything.
I mean it in any creepy crawly critter. And you know, scientists, entomologists have a very specific meaning for bug. It's a type of insect with piercing or sucking mouth parts. But in my case, I'm using it in the broad, general, creepy crawly, slithery critter.
So it can mean millipedes and centipedes and slugs and worms and
spiders and scorpions,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing, because we need a general term because, as you point out in your book, bug is actually a technical term for a kind of insect.
Sort of. You know, I mean, bug also means a stomach flu. It means a problem in a computer program.
All right. This is not dictionary.com, all right?
Exactly.
And the other thing, what was the... look at these. Ooh, is that a cockroach there?
That's a cockroach.
Two of them. What's this guy?
That's a scorpion.
Well, that is a scorpion.
Yeah,
it seems tiny.
So what we have here for our listeners is we have dead bugs in boxes, basically. They're in shadow boxes so that I can get them in and out of the airport and
I think
travel
that's how
around
we move.
They're dead. They've all been killed.
You know, what's interesting. All right, and the other caveat is something I tell folks in garden talks and on the radio. Most bugs are not... Are you okay there? Do you need some?
Yeah, no. We're just the parade of terrifying insects just keeps on going.
She's handing out more and more insects in glass jars encased in, this is not amber, but in glass.
I've got a real freak show going here.
Where did you get these?
I have my sources. I actually got an entomologist to put together one of these for me. It was so funny. I called him up, and he's used to getting requests for fancy beetles and butterflies. And I'm like, all right, I need a bed bug. I need some body lice. I need it. He's like, yeah, I got it all. That's no problem. So
he was excited.
There are people out there who can do this for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know if I ever need a centipede and a millipede side by side in a case of glass here.
Those are huge.
No, they're not.
These
you've never seen a huge centipede or a huge millipede.
That's right. They get much bigger. You can easily get one up to a foot long. And these are, what would you say, about 4 inches or so?
Yeah.
I mean, these have to be portable because I'm on a book tour, so I'm on and off airplanes every day with these things. So they have to be manageable.
You're saying there's a non-portable centipede?
Yes. Totally.
And I've handled the giant millipedes.
Yeah.
Through the Illinois Master Gardeners, there's the Cook County Fair, and they have a bug table for the kids.
That's
and
awesome.
And we got a tarantula in there, and a giant millipede, and some other clicking roaches, and and you know, we just let them crawl over our hands and show the kids, and it's interesting. Half of the kids go and half go, ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting how we have gotten to the point, as adults, and you mentioned this in the book, our first response, it's that whole section on the responses that people have.
The phobias. Some people just want to kill every bug they see. They just want to reach for the bug spray. Other people think if you see the tiniest little nibble on a leaf, there must be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That if bugs are eating plants, that's a problem, when in fact that's what they do. So we have a wide range of responses. But the interesting thing for me is that, you know, with wicked bugs, it took some work to find enough bugs that have had a horrible impact on human affairs, because the fact is most bugs are pretty good.
That was going to be my point, is that most bugs are either good or benign.
Or benign,
And I'm glad to hear you say that it took some work to find enough.
It did. I sort of feel like if you go through this book, you will have a pretty good list of the bugs you should be afraid of, and you need to lighten way up on everything else.
Here's the syndromes you have. The dead insect syndrome, in which people respond to insects almost automatically by killing them, especially around campgrounds or picnic tables.
Yep.
The perfect leaf syndrome, in which hikers and campers alert park managers if they see the smallest nibble or leaf on a tree. The entomophobia, an irrational fear of insects that can cause people to avoid all contact with nature. No reaction, a response from people who understand that bugs are part of outdoor life and should be tolerated. And the environmentalist response, in which people believe that insecticide should not be used in any situation and favor the protection of all bugs under all circumstances. So that's the spectrum right there.
And I should say the phrase environmental response is not mine. There are some scientists that came up with this list. I don't know that we want to. It sounds a little dismissive, I think, to apply that term. But anyway, those are the kind of fears people have.
All right. I put a number. I don't know if you've been to my website this morning, but I put a number of the interesting tidbits from the book up there. Like, I don't know where to start. You start in the book, interestingly enough, because you're trying to suck people into the book.
Yeah.
With the male-female kind of thing.
Mating practices. Well, it goes alphabetically. I mean, what I should say is that for every bug, there had to be a great story. So there had to be an important figure in history who was harmed by the bug, whether it was Christopher Columbus or George Washington, you know, somebody like that. There had to be a weird news story. There had to be a moment in history. So they're all stories. And I put them alphabetically by the name of the bug, which means that you start with the African bat bug, which has terrifying mating practices that I don't know if we can even describe on a family show.
Yeah, no, that's true. You did start with that, but see, that didn't catch my eye. It was what the female insects do to their male counterparts.
Right.
That was the one that got me.
Right after that, a whole little section called "She's Just Not That Into You."
Yes.
Yes. Pretty much, she'll bite your head
right
off.
Can we talk about the banana slug here? By the way, banana slugs, and you know, I had a vacation home in the Pacific Northwest for 18 years, so I got to know they've got some banana slugs up there.
Yeah.
And they also have the other, they're huge slugs. People in the Midwest don't know what a slug is.
Oh, that's right.
They don't. You don't, because you think of this little thing that's on the side of a leaf. No, these things are like 4 inches long and move very slow. Have you ever been kissed by a slug?
I've not been kissed. Do you recommend that?
Yes. You got to try it.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. It's you get down there at slug level.
Yeah.
And you got to have one of these big ones.
Sure.
And if you put your finger out to whatever it is that the slug has in front. I'm not an entomologist here. I just play one on the radio.
Let's say its face.
Yeah. You get a little shock. You get a little tingle.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty cool, actually. Uh-huh. It's a little weird, but it's pretty cool.
Does that mean it's asking you out on a date? Is that what that is?
That's right. And some of my best dates have been with slugs. Okay. All right, listen, we need to take a break. We're going to talk more about this. If you got questions about what's going to kill you and not, 773-838-9278, you're welcome to call. I know everybody's out hunting for Easter eggs and stuff like that and going to church, and maybe they want to talk about bugs. But, you know, when we come back, we'll scare the dickens out of them anyway, because that's what we do on the Mike Novak Show. Happy Easter, everybody. And right now, winter is just a bad recurring dream until it snows again next week. And that's when you'll start planning to join me next February 25th to March 3rd, 2012, when I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line's Norwegian Sun visiting the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad insects down that way, aren't there?
Yeah.
I know. Oh, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, too.
Okay.
Hold on. About climate and insects. Anyway, we'll be exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens in some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere, where they never have snow in April. I will be your genial host for this excursion, and I'll share my insights about Midwest gardening along the way. There are several ways you can get more information. Go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click on the picture of the Norwegian Sun, or call CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664. That's 800-876-6664. Log on at cruise-works.com, or just write to me, Mike@MikeNovak.net, and I'll send you all of the information you need. Sign up today.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
And what have I? What else have I got left over from? I think that is cool. I'm cool there. So I go to this one and I say, "Hey, look out! We're getting into the serious part of the gardening season where we separate the gymnosperms from the angiosperms, if you catch my drift. Well, if you don't want to be caught with your zygotes down, you need a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This is the most jam-packed issue of the year. Among the great stories is one about how to get over your fear of conifers and treat them right. Our very own Beth Botts writes about my friend, environmentalist Arthur Pearson, who taught himself not only how to garden, but how to create stained glass, then experimented until he found exactly the right plants for his tiny yard in Chicago's Pullman community. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I had to teach myself how to write to get the gig, and it's still a work in progress. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. You can call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a pusher electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Groundhogs and gophers and moles, oh my. If burrowing creatures are burrowing in your Emerald City, and by that I mean your lawn, then Bonide has the solution. Bonide Mole Max is an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. The environmentally friendly Mole Max formulation makes it safe to apply in areas where children and pets play. Just apply 3 to 4 times per year to send nuisance animals away. Mole Max is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator. Mole Max is also available in a quart-size ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose-end sprayer. Mole Max can be found at Sid's Greenhouse and Garden Center in Palos Hills and in Bolingbrook, Illinois. Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it to your computer. The app features a search engine where you can type in the name of a pest or weed and find a solution. Get it at Bonide.com. I know why you got to get up today. It's Easter Sunday, and you got to go to church, and you got to look for Easter eggs and stuff. And you got to listen to the Mike Novak Show. It's the third anniversary show, and I'm glad to have you with me. In the studio is Amy Stewart, the author of Wicked Bugs, which is published by Algonquin. And she's written a lot of really, she's a very good writer, is the first thing you should know. I've read Flower Confidential and Wicked Plants and Wicked Bugs, The Earth Moved. What's the other one you got?
From the Ground Up was my memoir about my first garden in Santa Cruz.
Ah.
Yep.
And she's a Californian, so you can hate her for that. And she's a garden ranter.
Yes, garden rant.
So you can hate her for that. So I'll lose a few more listeners by having you on the show today.
Oh, good.
So,
all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Just
nice.
by having the garden rant women on the show, I lose listeners.
We make trouble everywhere we go.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to some of these nasty, nasty bugs. What was the point I was going to make? Oh, it was a climb. One of the reasons I like living in Chicago.
Yeah.
And grew up in Detroit, was happy with that, in terms of the climate, because it seems there's not as many dangerous bugs where it's cold.
Because they get killed off in the winter. Or,
yeah.
Or their population stays
well,
down.
Yeah, but
it knocks them back.
But that's, I don't know. You could kill off a tarantula in the winter, and it's still going to have venom. Or you could kill off some of these other nasty bugs. It's not so much, it seems like they're not as toxic up here.
A lot of big, nasty bugs are in the tropics. That is for sure. Yeah.
I was just wondering if you know, that had occurred to you during your writing of this book.
Yeah, definitely. It's the same with plants. It seems like all the poisonous plants and all the venomous bugs are in the tropics. But it's not like, it's not like we don't have some nasty ones here. Ticks, mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
But we don't tend to have malaria here in Chicago.
We don't have malaria because that would have to be passed from person to person. So you'd need a sort of quantity of people with malaria for it to start to get spread around. And mm-hmm. We don't have that.
And among the things you talk about in the book are the ways that we've dealt with some of these nasty insects. And often our history is we'll douse them with chemicals and see if there's a way we can control them. And then we find out they're not working anymore. Right. I had an entomologist tell me a few years ago. She said, you know, the reason we stopped using DDT was not because it was killing birds and getting into our ecosystems. It's because it stopped working. In a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know people who'll scream, well, you know, those darn environmentalists, we'd be curing malaria right now if, or eradicating it if we kept using DDT. But these chemicals have a way, well, and the insects have a way of adapting to them.
Sure, they have such short life cycles. Well, one of the stories I tell in the book is about the corn rootworm, which...
fascinating story.
Great story. What it does is it lays its eggs in the fall underground on the assumption that there's going to be more corn in the spring for the little eggs to hatch and eat, because that's what they eat. And corn is an annual, so that's reasonable to expect. So what farmers did, thinking, well, this will be easy. We'll start rotating our crops. We'll plant soybeans the year after the corn, and then the little eggs will hatch, and there won't be any corn roots. There'll be soybean roots, and we'll outsmart them.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So the corn rootworm figures out a way around that, figures out a way to lay eggs that can live for 2 years until the corn comes back. I mean, how creepy is that?
Well, and there was the northern corn.
The northern one did that.
And then the western did a different thing.
The western one did a different thing. It figured out how to lay eggs that could eat soybean roots. So it was fine.
That's even more insidious, don't you think?
It's amazing. And this didn't happen over thousands of years. We're talking about decades this happened.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is, because you think the adaptation... Well, it's like producing, I don't know, Roundup-ready superweeds.
Right.
That's happened over 10 years, basically, hasn't it?
It doesn't take long. It takes one or few that are... Just a few of them that are somehow able to survive that and take off.
And that's the point you make. If they're reproducing so quickly, all it takes is one of those beetles
right.
to start passing along the characteristic
yeah.
or borer or whatever you... What have you, you know, and suddenly you've got them all over the place.
That's right.
And now you're going to plan B, which is... We don't know.
Yeah.
What about rotating crops in a 3-year cycle?
It could be. I mean, it could take something like that. But we'll always just stay one step ahead of them. You know, Mother Nature is powerful.
Yeah.
They want to live.
Ants.
Ants.
Ants. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for ants, mainly because I don't live in the South and I've never had to deal with fire ants.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, you lived in Texas, apparently. Did you ever have to deal with fire ants?
Yeah, I was swarmed by fire ants one time.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What was that like?
I was planting my garden and I dug in the wrong spot. You know, I didn't pay enough attention to where I was sticking my shovel and they just crawled up my leg and started.
Didn't you have a story about a woman, a gardener, who was killed while gardening? Was it by ants or something else?
Yeah, no, ants. It was just such a shock. You know, it was just enough all at once that it was such a shock to her system.
I mean, normally you're not going to die. You're just going to be in agonizing pain.
That's right.
For instance, if you get bitten by the bullet ant, which gets its name...
The bullet ant.
From the fact that its bite feels like a gunshot.
It does.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't want to be bitten by a bullet ant. But you talk about fire ants and how this is one of the places where we tried to use all those chemicals and what we did is wipe out their competitors.
Right. Yeah. It just didn't work. And it ended up being expensive and entrenched and long and dangerous, so much so that E.O. Wilson called it the Vietnam of entomology.
Nice.
Yeah.
But the scariest one is the Argentine ants.
Well, yeah. So they're not all that harmful to you and me, but what's so freaky about them is that they have organized into these super colonies that literally cover, like, all of California. I mean, these giant colonies that work together and cooperate so that they act like one super organism. That's
so, and you're saying that genetically they're so similar, this may be just one huge colony, and it extends from San Diego to Northern California or something
like
that?
Yeah, and there are these very large populations. There's one in Europe, and they've even found that globally they sort of cooperate and work together and don't compete so that they might be one meta super organism that carries out a single mission.
It's like a Terminator. It's the rise of the ants.
Well, here's a fun fact for you. There are 200 million insects alive right now for every one person.
Yeah, I put
yeah.
So, say that again.
200 million insects for every one person. So you better hope they don't all get organized and decide to take you on.
And as you write, there are 10, excuse me, there are 10 quintillion insects alive on the planet right now.
Right now. We are seriously outnumbered.
Man.
I know.
But most of them are good, folks. You know, even with ants, I always say they're the great bystanders in nature because every time somebody has a garden problem, they blame the ants. They do. They just always, the ants are the first insect to get blamed.
When ants are actually so important in a garden, I mean, they shred, they tear up plant matter and help decompose it. They do a lot of wonderful things.
All right, well, hang on. It's Amy Stewart, the author of Wicked Bugs. We'll have a few more minutes with her. I hope you stick around for more harrowing tales. On this Easter Sunday, we'll talk about the insects that might be crawling around your hidden Easter eggs. Isn't that a wonderful idea? Spring seminars are coming to Pesci's Garden Center next Saturday, April 30th at 9 a.m. Pesci's presents a weekend project to refresh and update the front of the house landscape. It'll teach you how to do a complete makeover with little effort, with focus on low-maintenance plantings, with eye-catching combinations. Don't forget to take measurements of your planting area before you leave the house. On May 7th, there are two seminars, Solving Backyard Landscape Challenges at 9 a.m. and Creating a Butterfly Habit with American Beauty's Native Plants at 11 a.m. Dr. Wally also reminds you that Pesci's carries several Dr. Earth planting mixes, Dr. Earth Motherland All-Purpose Planting Mix, Homegrown Vegetable Garden Planting Mix, and Acid Lovers Planting Mix. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Here's a tip from the care of trees. Many insects become... Speaking of insects, many insects become active first thing in the spring, so now is a good time to have a certified arborist inspect your trees and shrubs for unusual pest activity. Keep in mind that I'm talking about unusual pest activity. Insects are all over the place, and most of them don't cause trouble, like the bystander ants. However, if you have ash trees and suspect emerald ash borer activity, do contact your county extension office or a certified arborist in order to make a positive identification. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And I just realized, and it was a total, I didn't do this on purpose, but the music we had at the top of the hour, Adamant. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Open that door. Oh, no. Look who has paid us a visit on this Easter Sunday. That wouldn't be the inimitable Heather Fry, would it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Let Heather pull that microphone over.
It's okay. Good morning.
And William as well.
Happy Easter. William, say something. Say
happy Easter.
Oh, thanks, William.
Do you have something to give to Mike? Go on round and give it to him. Go on, Ron. Oh.
Mike's needy. Bring it over here. What do we get? Look at this. Kolachkis.
Since it's your third anniversary, and I do recall you saying that you were part Polish, at least, weren't you? We have pastries. We have a cheese babka, and we have, I don't know what this is, but it's covered in powdered sugar and deep fried, and it looks delicious. and it'll go well with dessert wine.
As long as it's deep fried.
So I told you I'd try to get here for the third anniversary, and here I am.
And here you are.
And I do not whine like that, and I also love Louis Jordan.
All right.
There we go. Heather Fry in studio with William. This is the first time. Hey, William. How you doing, buddy?
Hey.
Come over here and talk in the microphone.
So what you doing today?
This was at my daddy's.
He was just at his daddy's. I picked him up.
Yes. And did you go on an Easter egg hunt? Yeah?
Yeah, the Easter bunnies just gave me old pennies.
Oh. Hey, now, do you have a chocolate Easter bunny?
No.
Okay, that's probably healthy. Mom bit the head off the Easter bunny, so.
To talk about slugs this day.
He wants to talk about slugs and things.
Oh, you do. You taught him that line.
We were listening here, and this is a bug child. This child loves bugs, and we were listening the whole ride in, and he went, ew, tarantula pie.
Ooh, okay. All right, Amy, tell William about tarantula pie, okay?
Really? Are we sure this is a story suitable for children?
I don't know.
Oh.
Heather, you decide.
I'm okay with it.
It's a true story about a woman who attempted to murder her husband by putting a tarantula's venom sack in his pie. It did not work. She tried about 10 other crazy things that didn't work either.
And that was part of the giveaway, wasn't it?
Yes.
So true. My son just ate a slug.
Who ate a slug?
Who ate a slug?
My son.
Your son?
Yeah.
I'm a grandma? That's new.
No, my kid Billy.
No, your kid Billy? I thought I had a kid named Billy.
Wow, Billy ate a slug.
Man, it's lively around here.
Yes, it is.
You've got a sippy cup you're gonna want to. Yeah.
We'll see you after the show. We'll have some kolachkis. Yeah, you guys have some right now.
Good stuff.
I can't believe you came in.
Here we are.
I'm going to shed a tear. I'm so moved.
I told you I'd make it, and I do love your book. I bought it. It's in my bathroom, and I'm going to get the other one and put that one next to it.
All right.
It's fantastic reading for the bathroom, because it's the last thing you expect.
Wicked Plants is what she's done.
Wicked Plants and Wicked Bugs. I think it's brilliant.
All right. I have one fan in Chicago. What are we
doing?
Two.
I'm
two.
Here. What am I, chopped liver?
No.
What am I, chopped slugs? and chopped a tarantula
poison
sack?
You're a chocolate with the head cut off.
All right, give us one more. I have to tell you, there's so many great stories, and I bookmarked so many of them, but we can't get to everything. I mean, you can read about how Columbus's crew had to chop off their toes when they landed in the New World because of an infestation, and you can learn about there's just
Napoleon's army being defeated by lice.
And that's the subtitle of the book.
Fascinating stuff. Well, fortunately, people are going to be able to hear all about it this week.
Because Amy is appearing many places in Chicago. Yesterday she was at the Chicago Botanic Garden. How did that go?
It was great. It was so much fun.
Good. Tomorrow at Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville, 7 p.m. And by the way, these are all listed on my website. The links are there. You go right to it. Tuesday at the Berner Botanical Gardens in Milwaukee. Wednesday, Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.
With the artist who illustrated the book, Brian Emoro Cribbs, will be there as well.
And that's at 6 p.m. By the way, on Tuesday at the Barner Botanical Gardens, it's 5:30. And then Thursday, back in the Chicago area at the Morton Arboretum at 7 p.m. And that's, of course, in Lisle, Illinois. And you'll hear wonderful stories about wicked bugs.
And, you know, we had a huge crowd at Morton for Wicked Plants. It was so much fun. So I'm glad to be back.
Well, I'm betting, you know, because everybody's got a subscription to the Morton Arboretum, listens to this show. You know.
There you go.
They will. who knows? So many thanks for you being here. I'm so happy to finally have you come to Chicago, be in the studio, and
in person.
In person.
I would be here every Sunday if I could.
And I would have you here every Sunday, except that by the time you were finished, I wouldn't have any listeners.
Nice.
And Amy's wonderful. And I got to tell you, this is a fun book. As Heather said, with the Wicked Plants, you will enjoy this. Put it in your bathroom, but it'll make you, you know, not, because it's one of those books you can read real quick. You can read a chapter.
You can.
But take it with you on the plane. It's a kind of thing that you can read anywhere. I'm sorry. You kind of looked askance when I said the bathroom, because I think of this. It's a perfect bathroom book.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm good with that.
I just hurt her feelings.
No, I'm good with that. Yeah.
Okay. Have we got a call?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, before we let you go, let's go to line one. Who have we got there? Mark from Palatine.
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. I saw your tweet about looking for an interesting bug story, and I've got one.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, when I was in biology class in college, we were doing an experiment with praying mantid and milkweed bugs. Milkweed bugs are toxic, and you know anything that eats them will probably wind up getting sick or vomiting it up. Well, we fed the praying mantid the milkweed bug, and of course it ate it, and then it proceeded to spit it up. Then...
Wow.
Amy needed to know this before she did the book.
Praying mantid vomit. That's just, wow.
Yeah. But then we gave it a bug which looked like the milkweed bug, and the idea was supposed to be an experiment in mimicry, that the praying mantid would reject the lookalike bug, figuring that it would be just like the milkweed bug that caused him so much digestive distress.
Uh-huh.
Well, the praying mantid ate it anyway, which means that it was either the dumbest praying mantid around, or it was the smartest one because it knew the experiment.
Yeah, that sort of blows the whole point of the experiment. You're like, oh, wait a minute. It seemed like such a good idea at the time. Now we still know nothing.
Yeah.
Which kind of proves one of Murphy's laws, that given the right conditions of temperature, pressure, and environment, the organism will do as it darn well pleases.
Well, but that's part of the thing with the praying mantids. They will eat anything. And I often ask folks, I say, is the praying mantid a good bug or a bad bug? And most people have the impression that it's a good bug because it eats bad bugs. And I say, no, it will eat anything. It does not care. I saw a photo once of a praying mantid that had snatched a hummingbird in midair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
You've seen that?
In Texas, I saw that. Everything happened in Texas. But I swear it.
Enough with the Texas.
No, it really. Okay. I sat on the window and ate this hummingbird for like a...
You watched? You saw that?
Yeah.
That is astonishing.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, that's a great story. Was that Mark on the...
Mark, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We got to send you something, okay? Where do you live?
I live in Palatine. I can give you my address.
Okay. What we'll do is I'll put you on hold, and you will talk to Mark Munger here. And how about a gift certificate to Pesci's?
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Fabulous. We will do that. I'll put you on hold, and thanks for calling with a great story.
Thank you, Mike. And happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it, Amy. You're welcome to sit here. I want to talk to you after you. Are you on your way to someplace important?
I'll stick around. I'm on my way to Milwaukee. Is Milwaukee important?
No.
I had a feeling you'd say that.
No, not at all. Because your talk isn't till
tomorrow. Well, it's a long story. I got a TV thing in the morning, so I got to be in Milwaukee to go on the morning TV show.
So you just need to get fresh. You got time.
I got time.
All right. Hang around. That's Amy Stewart again. The name of the book. Right here, Wicked Plants, The Louse That Conquered Napoleon's Army and Other Diabolical Insects, on sale everywhere. It's spring planting time, and this week's special at SIDS is seed geraniums, an annual favorite that's sure to give bright color all summer long. Through May 7th, save big on seed geraniums in a 3.5-inch pot. 3 for just $5. Also this week, you can get $5 off SIDS' entire stock of spring baskets. Visit SIDSonline.com to download the coupon. Friday is Arbor Day, and to celebrate, SIDS has 2 smoking deals to excite your landscape. 3 varieties of Japanese maples, just $39 for the number 2 pot size, and 36-inch emerald green arborvitae are 5 for $90. Mother's Day is 2 weeks from today. Boy, these holidays just line up one after another. Why not honor mom with a fresh floral arrangement from Sid's Full Service Floral Shops? Check out their selection online and order today. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, nursery, and florist are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal every Saturday now through June 18th at Sid's. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. and save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from Sid's Early Bird Greeter.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are deer and other four-legged critters strolling into your yard like it's an old country buffet? Send them the other way by dressing their salad with Bob-X. Bob-X deer and animal repellents are environmentally safe. They're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets. And most importantly, they work. Bob-X has a loyal customer base, as well as a loyal staff, who believe in the company and the product they've been putting out for over 20 years. Bob-X repels foraging animals using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients, and they work effectively throughout all the seasons. Don't look for Bob-X products in a box store. Look for them in a Bob-X store, meaning your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bob-X at your favorite garden center, you can call Bob-X and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bob-X products at Seasons Garden in Alton, Illinois, Pesquazy Home and Gardens in Barrington, Illinois, Sandy's Back Porch and Garden Center in Belleville, Illinois. And remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X. In about 30 seconds, we're going to welcome Alan Shannon into the studio in our Sustainable Food Fundamentals segment. But meanwhile, move over yogurt. Dr. Earth's potting soils are packed with probiotics, too, the kind that break down organic materials and make nutrients available to your plants. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors in raised beds, mixed with existing garden soil, added to existing soil in containers or pots, or on its own. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. Mr. Mark, are we ready to roll this clip here?
We are ready to.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
Mr. Mark, this is officially awesome.
Thank you. This, I have my moments.
We may make this the official theme for Sustainable Food Fundamentals.
This is my best Easter ever.
Thank you.
Yes.
What do you think, Alan? Would this be a good theme?
I love it. If you guys don't get to it first, we might.
That is Alan Shannon. He's the director of the Midwest Region Public Affairs for USDA Food and Nutrition Service in the Midwest. This is Sustainable Food Fundamentals, and it's sponsored in part by Pearl Valley Eggs. Support an Illinois family that does it right. Insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. Alan, welcome to the show. You know, I met you a few weeks ago when I got introduced to you by Mark Ernest, who works here at the station, and you're part of an organization that got started out of Congressman Danny Davis's office called Good Greens.
Actually, Congressman Rush's office.
I'm sorry, Congressman Rush. I'm sorry. My bad. Congressman Rush's office. And it was just folks getting together to try to figure out how people can eat better, grow mm-hmm. sustainably. And the thing that I think surprises some people, me a little bit, was that the USDA is involved, because you're with the USDA. I think a lot of people think of USDA as big ag. And yet, if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and see the links I put up, you're supporting local farmers. You've got the Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food. You've got other programs that try to get people involved. So tell me about some of the things that you're doing that are not big ag, that are smaller ag and local ag.
Well, agriculture is everything. It's the small players, it's the big players. To feed 300 million people, you need a whole combination of things. And we got into this because we administer the 15 nutrition assistance programs that the country runs, everything from school lunch to SNAP, formerly the food stamp program. And one of the issues that we had is food deserts. A lot of people are familiar with that term. And a lot of people that live in food deserts participate in our programs. So they don't have access to fresh, healthy food, and there are health costs associated to that, both societal and dollar. So coupled with Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food, and some of the other efforts of the administration and the secretary of the department, Vilsack, we decided to sort of start addressing this issue and look into it in the city. And what we found out during an event was that Congressman Rush's office was already working on similar issues through this Good Greens initiative. So we talked to their staff and we decided let's start to bring everybody together to talk about this in a larger way, bring different people together, different organizations. There are so many good things happening in our city and in our state. And what we found out is we expanded this because we're responsible for the Midwest region, that's six states, is that there are good things happening out there. And what we try to do is bring everybody together to talk about and share these great ideas, things that they're doing, and also to identify opportunities. Are there grants out there from organizations or from USDA or other agencies in the federal government? We also bring our programs. They're also available to be used. So, say, school lunch. The secretary and the department have an initiative underway, Farm to School, which is bringing farm products from the local area into the school cafeteria. There's a component of that that also teaches the kids where their food comes from. There's a lot of talk now that a lot of people think that their food comes from the grocery store. They're so detached from where it comes from. And our deputy secretary, she's joked about this before because she always thought that that was a joke out there, that people thought their food came from the grocery store, until she worked in Boston and found out, no, there are people that are so detached from this that they don't understand that an egg comes from a chicken at a farm somewhere.
And I've heard that there are some people who don't know that a tomato is green before it's red. That's that sort of thing.
You know? That it grows on a vine.
Yeah.
That it grows in the dirt, and somebody had to water that, plant it, take care of it.
And that says, you know, that says something about the way the direction our country has gone in the last few decades, you know, as more and more people move to cities and become disconnected from the land. But now we're moving back in that direction. I mean, we have these local food movements. I note on your website, and again, if you can go to the USDA sites here, and you have some statistics that are amazing. The number of farmers markets has more than tripled in the past 15 years.
Yep.
And there are now more than 6,100 around the country. This is the one that got me. In 1986, there were two community-supported agriculture operations, CSAs. Today, there are over 4,000. How much has USDA played a part in that?
What we try to do is support. So if you look on our website and you look at the things that we're trying to do, we're not trying to create these systems. We're trying to support existing systems and also try to help new systems be born. So farmers markets, one of the ways that we support them, and I'll make this pitch right now. If you've got a farmers market out there, you're thinking about creating one, or you know of one, make sure that they're listed on the USDA website. We're making a pitch right now. We do this annually so that we have a list of all farmers markets in the country.
In the country, so you're not just talking to people in the Chicago area right now. You're talking about anybody who might be picking this up on streaming on MikeNovak.net or on my podcast.
That's right. So this is what USDA does for the entire country. I'm not involved in that, but because I'm a USDA spokesperson, I'll make that pitch right now. If you look on our website, you'll see that. Localharvest.org, which is another organization that we support, and we provide information on what they're doing. They keep a listing of CSAs. Familyfarm.org just released theirs. So these are all partners or organizations that we try to help do the work that they're doing, the very important work.
Family Farmed is a great organization here. You know, in addition to what they have on their website every year, they have Family Farmed Expo, and I spoke at that this year. Another great one in the Chicago area, which I hope you're aware of, is the Local Beat.
Yes.
And the Local Beat has a wonderful place where you can find local CSAs and farmers markets. You type in your zip code and boom.
Right.
But there are other, there are national organizations and obviously on your website as well.
Yes, and I'm less involved with those because I'm primarily assigned to the Midwest region. So I'm aware of what's happening nationally, but I'm doing the work in the Midwest region.
Okay, I need to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you a question about sustainability. And the difference, perhaps, in big ag and small ag in terms of sustainability. We're talking to Alan Shannon with the USDA Food and Nutrition Service in the Midwest. But right now, I'm happy to tell you about Pearl Valley Eggs. It's an Illinois family-owned farm that does it right. Dave Thompson, the founder of Pearl Valley Eggs, got into the egg business years ago, almost by accident. He was a school teacher and wanted to show his students where chickens and our food comes from. Dave, or rather Alan, was just talking about that. A lot of kids don't know where their food comes from. Now, the rest is history. And I visited the Pearl Valley Egg Farm, and it was fascinating to learn how they aerobically compost chicken manure and straw to create the organic Healthy Grow Fertilizer. Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow Fertilizer is sustainability in action. The chickens are raised on site, produce superior quality eggs, and then help create an organic fertilizer. It's what we call closing the loop. Healthy Grow lawn and garden food is available at garden centers throughout the Chicago area. And please insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. You march into that grocery store, you say, I want Pearl Valley Eggs, and if they're not here, ask them why. Food is essential to life. If you want a quality life, you need quality food for you and your garden. Learn more about it at healthygrow.com. That's healthygrow.com. Back to Alan Shannon with the USDA in the Midwest region. And we only have a couple of minutes here, but you talk about sustainability. Is the way we farm, the factory farm, is that sustainable?
Well, it really depends on what the farm is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, factory farming, using that term, might connote different things for different people. But to feed 300 million people in the country, we've got to have, as I mentioned earlier, a whole variety of ways of growing and providing food. What we're stressing, the USDA, with the local family farms, supporting them, is it's another piece of the puzzle to feed everybody that maybe has been missing or that hasn't received as much support. We have a lot of family farms that, as people know, have gone out of business in the last 20 or 30 years. The average age of the American farmer is 57. So who's going to be growing our food in the future? Mm-hmm. And when you look at the gas prices going up, if all of our food, fresh produce in the winter, is grown in California and Florida, it's going to increase food prices to get it here. So not that we wouldn't want to continue to have food from California and Florida, but there is a sustainability issue there. If gas prices continue to go up,
right, it's going to be really hitting people hard really soon.
Right. And people don't understand that you can grow fresh food in the Midwest all year long. And I didn't know that before I got into this. I mean, we're not going to be able to grow all of our food, but we can grow some of it. So it's talking about looking at organizations that are trying to do this and support them so that it's economic development at the same time that it's providing fresh food to people that don't have access to fresh food and to the average American that needs it as well.
Alan Shannon, thank you so much for coming in. Go to my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show. You'll find the USDA links. I'm glad to see USDA is working with sustainability. I suspect you and I will talk again in the future. Sustainable Food Fundamentals is brought to you in part by Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food of the Pearl Valley Organics Brooks family. Learn more at healthygrow.com. Happy Easter, everybody. We're bringing this into a three-point landing. Mark, glad to have you here filling in. I guess this is what I've been wanting to play for a couple of weeks. Oh, and it didn't. I had the wrong button up. Okay, we won't. We just say at this point, go green or...
go home.
See you next week.